my homily this morning, I'd like to speak about the very important teaching of our Catholic faith that we affectionately refer to as the Most Holy Trinity. Think for a moment how often we refer to our belief in the triune God, sometimes not even being aware as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our faith life, we use that expression in prayer often. Who was the first teacher of the sacred doctrine of the Blessed Trinity? Some famous theologian from hundreds of years ago? Or one of the popes who served the church faithfully over the years? The answer is no. We can say very definitively Jesus Christ was and continues to be the primary teacher of this teaching of our faith. And where do we base that? We base that upon what we experience in reading the pages of the New Testament in particular and the Acts of the Apostles. You might remember these words from last Sunday's celebration, the Feast of Pentecost. They came from St. John's text, chapter 20, as the setting of the Pentecost is before us. Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If we take time to go through the pages of the Old Testament and New Testament, we find that this is our basic source for all our teachings and doctrines. And we find that the Trinity is presented as an experience of the mystery and the majesty of God. It's not presented in some academic scientific formula, but rather the writers of the New Testament pieces in the scripture try to capture the experience that they had with Jesus, and it found it necessary to say the God he teaches us to believe in is the God we know now as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in only one true God, but it has come to be an experience of a trinity of persons as the Father in the heavens, who is the Creator and Lord of all creation, as the Son, who for a relatively short time, only 33 years, came to earth to live with us, to redeem those who lived before us, as well as those of us now living our human lives, and as the Spirit, given to the first believers by Jesus, and since then, the powerful gift bestowed in the sacramental life of our church, in a special way, in the celebration of confirmation, where we invite the growing young adult or an adult at different stages in his or her life to say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, that gift of the Holy Spirit manifests itself in what we refer to as the gift of amazing grace. Recall these words of the risen Jesus ascending to heaven before he returns to Father, his Father. He says to his believers, I will never, never abandon you. I will give you my Spirit, and he will continue to guide you. It's an interesting fact in the fact that we are a church for 2,000 years that it was not until about 687 years, to be precise, that the feast we celebrate today entered the liturgical calendar of the church. Well, what did they do before that? They felt there was no need for a special Sunday because their belief was that every Sunday is a statement of what we believe about the God that is ours, revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think The last 687 years have been a remedial lesson for us. No, because we celebrate a number of things in our liturgical year that are important to us. But my friends, think about it. In the Old Testament, we have many, many references to God the Father. Let me just give you a few. Creator of all life, whose motivation was to share his amazing love by creating you and me in his image and likeness. The Father, the one who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in kindness and fidelity. As the Father, the one who entered into a covenant, a lasting relationship, a love relationship with all of us that he has and continues to create. The Father as the source of true wisdom. And in the New Testament, we have many, many reminders and references to Jesus. John chapter 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. From John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. But you know, God the Father in heaven can seem like far away, and the experience of the earthly life of Jesus is now 1,988 years of fact in history. That's a long time ago. And so an understanding of God the Holy Spirit's very important. For it is God the Holy Spirit that is now and will continue to be until the end of time, the loving presence of God dwelling within our hearts and souls. And thus we rejoice in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the greatest gift given to the church by the risen Jesus continues to be his Spirit, a real living presence of God dwelling within you and me that has prompted scripture scholars and theologians to say, what's one of the best definitions we could give to ourselves as children of God? They say, call them temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples of the Holy Spirit. And it's the gift of that same Holy Spirit that empowers myself and Brother Priest to pray over and transform gifts of bread and wine into the very sacramental presence of the risen Jesus. And we can reverently and honestly say we've not abandoned Jesus. He promised never to abandon us, because every time we pray over those gifts of bread and wine, we are fulfilling what he asked us to do at the Last Supper, to do this in memory of him. And my friends, that becomes the primary defined, where can I experience the risen Jesus today in our world, but in the gift he asks us to do in memory of him, to allow that bread and wine to no longer just be those elements, but the very presence of the risen Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to end my homily with two short analogies that always seem to help me when I want to teach about or reflect upon the mystery and the majesty of the Holy Trinity. The first is this. If I asked you, where is the S-U-N today, the sun, you might say, well, where it's been for years, some 93 million miles away or so. And you know, if you told me that, your answer is correct, but not complete. You know, this morning, the rays of the sun just brightened my spirits after the dreary, rainy stuff we had yesterday along the lake. It is also today, as we move a little bit into a pattern maybe of warmer weather, not only out there, but it's in the warmth we feel because we've been in the sun for a while. And the rays that come from that, that's not 93 million miles away only. It's right with us. I like to use that analogy because in many ways, the rays of God's love are given to us. And that warmth, that sense of, a beautiful day, that's the ongoing gift of the Holy Spirit reminding us of the mystery and majesty of God. Second, I'm often awestruck at the majesty and mystery of Trinity in the same way that a beautiful piece of art, a painting, a sculpture, or a beautiful piece of music from a symphony can be for me. This past year, because of COVID-19, it was the first year in maybe 30-some that I didn't have tickets with Brother Priest for the Milwaukee Symphony concerts. And may I suggest I'm always moved in the beautiful gift of a symphony, not three in one, but the reality of a number of instruments united in harmony, creating one piece of magnificent music. Sometimes I don't even know which instrument that is, but if you take away some of the instruments, you no longer have that magnificent symphony that becomes the manifestation of the multiplicity made one. Take a look at art in our beautiful museum in Milwaukee, the Wood Gatherer, other interesting, stunning pieces that you can look at. You look at it, and then you see. Or it could be the Monet rooms in the Art Museum of Chicago. I don't know how they can do many of those artistic things, but I can view them. I can be absorbed by them. I can be touched by them. And my friends, in conclusion, I think that's what we do when we celebrate the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. Hopefully, we just simply say, my peanut brain, that's what I offer you, referring to myself, can't give you much better than that, an attempt to try to unpack the majesty and the mystery of the triune God. But I say this in all sincerity and not in kind of a funny way. If it was good enough for Jesus to teach, guess what? That's enough for me. And in his name, I'm willing to share that with you. We believe in one God manifested in the Trinity of love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In a moment, when I go back to the presider's chair, I'll invite us to stand. And what will we do as we do every Sunday? We'll use one of two creeds that go back to the 300s AD. That's not something that's just like 50 years old. This is the same formula and statement we've used as believers over the years to simply say, we believe in God. When we do that in a moment, the Nicene Creed, just allow yourself to say, oh, that's what we believe. And allow those words to jump out at you in maybe a fresh way, because sometimes in routine we can just say them and not even be aware of the beauty of what we're praying. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.